103. I'm going to note a few things tonight in this psalm. I have a few slides to go with it, but also just the psalm itself. You know, in the midst of all this trial and trouble that we hear about, we heard about, just heard today there was a shooting down the road the other night and all the problems. Some officer, auxiliary policeman and scout leader arrested on terrible charges of abusing children. It's all around us, isn't it? You think, what are we going to do? Well, we need to look to the Lord is what we need to do. And I draw your attention here to Psalm 103. I'm going to read this tonight and comment upon it. But think about David that wrote these psalms. He lived in a wicked time too. There was evil all around. Some of it even affected his life at different times. And we sometimes think today's worse than it's ever been. It's really not. It's just always been bad. But God's always been good. Amen? So that we keep our focus on Him in the midst of all this. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep His covenant, to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, that's just a quick reading of that passage. You think, we have much for which to be thankful. And to bless the Lord, it's the idea of thanking Him and giving Him credit for His goodness toward us. And we'll look at several of the areas that's been mentioned here tonight and other scriptures. But think about it. That one verse always sticks out in my mind. It says, "He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." You know what that means is? He's better to us than we deserve. He hadn't given us what we ought to get, all the punishment for our sins. He's good to us. God is good, and He loves us, and He wants to use us. First of all, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits." Think about the things He's done for us. He forgiveth all our sins. Of course, we know that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that made it possible. This cross-reference here in Ephesians 1, verse 7, it tells us the way He accomplished this forgiveness, and this is so important as we share the message of Christ with others, that without Jesus, we couldn't have our sins forgiven. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." You know, the Lord Jesus had to do for us what we could not do. He paid the price, and the price was His life. He shed His blood for us on Calvary's cross. We're coming up to that Easter season. We'll be looking Sunday by Sunday at the way toward the cross, and we see the path that He took, and it's amazing to contemplate. He knew it all, and He still came. I mean, he knew, and even in the garden, you know, when you read, he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know, we sometimes look at a hard thing and might pray a similar prayer because we're afraid of what might come. He knew what was coming. He could see it all, but still he went for us. And as I reread the Easter message and all the things that come to pass, the part where he stands before Pilate and Pilate says, "Don't you talk to me, I've got power over you." He said, "You got no power at all. No man takes my life, I give it." Think of that. He willingly gave his blood for us that we might be saved. Bless the Lord. He does this for us. And then verse 3, he talks about he heals all our diseases. The Bible talks about how he made provision for that. Spiritually and physically both. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, some people want to emphasize just the one side of it, but it goes for all of it. Because mainly, if it weren't for him taking our punishment on the cross, we would have to take it ourselves. But it says in Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And I believe that applies to all those needs. Physically, we can ask the Lord to heal us by his grace. He took that upon us. But think of the healing he gives us spiritually. All those sins that he took upon us, he bore the punishment. He bore the pain, and he gives us the ability to have healing from that. And you know, I think we too little understand the trouble we get ourselves into when we sin, the repercussions of going against God. We often look only at the outward manifestations, but it touches our very souls, and we need the Lord to heal us. I like 1 John 1:9, where it says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You think of a wound when you're afflicted, a cut or whatever kind of wound you might get. What's the first thing you do? You want to get all the filth away from it. You want to clean it up, get all the things that would cause infection, and you would clean it. That's what the Lord does for us spiritually. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we have to do it by confessing to him. And he does it because Jesus took it upon the cross for us. Verse 4 talks about who redeemeth thy life. That means to buy it back, to make it worthy. God has a plan for us. He wants us to use our life. He redeems us from the curse. Let's look at Galatians 3:13. It talks about, again, a manifestation of the sins that are all around us that we've been involved in. And the repercussions of that is a curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So what's the curse of the law? That we're guilty. It's not that the law is wrong. The law is good and holy and righteous. But the law shows us our sin. It shows us where we failed. You know, when we read a verse like, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," we realize there's a standard which we do not meet. What is the glory of God? What's that standard? It's his holiness. Jesus said it another way in Matthew 5, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And immediately our hearts say, "But nobody's perfect." And God says, "Yeah, I know that." That's why Jesus came to this world and died for you, because you're not perfect. But you have to admit it, you see. You have to realize it. You know, how many people going through this world think, "I'm not too bad. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not chopping people's heads off." But that doesn't matter. You're not as good as God. That's what you got to be to get into heaven. And that's what Jesus came to give us. He redeems us from that curse of the law, the curse of sin, which leads to death. And here's another verse talking about that in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Again, reminds us of the price was paid. His blood was shed for us on Calvary's cross. And verses 18 and 19 say, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation," that means way of life, "received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a precious truth. You know, it's a little bit mysterious to us. We think, how can his blood being shed some 2,000 years ago have an effect on my life today? Because God said so, amen? And because he accepted that. By faith, we receive it, and he redeems our life. He gives it back to us to serve him. Here's another one, John 10, 28 through 30. Probably you might recall those verses a little more familiar. But the Lord tells us of this redemption, it will never fail. You shall never perish. John 10, 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See, that's our security, because he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. The mistake so many make when they think and worry about losing salvation is they wrongly think, I had something to do with getting it, and so I have something to do with holding on to it. No, it's in the earlier verse that I didn't read, in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, the Lord is active, calling people to himself. Then he does that for us. Salvation is of the Lord. He thought it. He brought it here. He bought it by the blood of Christ. He brings it into our experience by the God, the Holy Spirit, and draws us unto himself through the word of God. He does it all. We receive it. And the reason we have hope and we can say, I know whom I have believed, because he's the one that did it. I love this. No man can take them out of my hand, my Father, and I and my Father. That's the promise. It's him. It's not based on us. We're not arrogant thinking we're better than anybody else. No, we ought to be of all people most humble, because we realize God is so much better to us than we deserve. But we also be grateful because he's given us that which we need, eternal life through Christ. Then verse 4, it talks about who crowneth thee with loving kindness and mercies. You know, all the goodness of God to us. Look at Hebrews 4:16. We have the opportunity that we have experienced here tonight to come before his throne in a matter of prayer. You know, a lot of people don't think about how precious this is because we take it for granted. But imagine, we have the challenge. It says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, think, God is holy in heaven, and he's willing to listen to us. I saw a little blip on the computer earlier. I don't know where it was. President Trump was there and a bunch of people taking a tour of the White House, and he did something unusual. He came right in there where they were all at, and he motioned for somebody to come on up there. And one little boy, about 13 years old, finally came up there and got his picture made with the president, you know, and all that. And you thought, why would he do that? I don't know. But the idea, think about everybody was shocked. This important man, he's not near as important as God. He's telling, come on up here. And this one child finally comes up and he gets the picture. You know, God says, come to me and make your request known. And he listens to us. We can find grace and help in time of need. He's blessing us. Verse 5, it talks about who satisfieth thy mouth. All you think about the Lord giving us that which we need in our life, not only the food, but also every other area of life. Matthew 6, 25 through 33, very famous part of the Lord's Sermon on the Mountain. I would like to read that. It's so challenging to us, but it's precious as well. It reminds us that we should not worry about the wrong things. In verse 25, it begins, well, I'm going to start in 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And verse 34 finishes it. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I began our looking into this psalm tonight by referencing the mess we're in today and all the troubles we face. Well, we do face them and we realize they're real, but we don't focus on that. We focus on him, the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means what God is doing in this world today and his heavenly kingdom, of course, we're looking forward to the future, but his kingdom includes right now. Well, they're not all obeying him. Yes, that's true, but some of us are. And that's our job. We're to go out and to spread the gospel of Christ to the lost around us, to live for him by example, and to use our words, to use our life, to use the choices we make to let them know that his kingdom might continue on. And he has promised he'll take care of us. Do you believe him? You know, I preached the other day and I read that verse. It says, have faith in God. You know, that's a simple statement. But how many of us miss that when we're worried about everything? Take no thought, he says, for these things. Don't worry about it. Don't let it consume your attention all the time. What does God want me to do for his work in this world, his kingdom, as we say? How can I serve him? You can serve him in many ways. You can certainly pray. You read the word of God. You can talk to others and encourage them. You can invite folks. You can do a lot of things. But first, you got to get your attention on the right subject, and that's his kingdom and his work for us in this world. And then here, Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 13 is a very important warning to us, because so often when we are blessed, we get the big head, if you excuse my illustration there. We get to thinking that it's because we deserved it. I always think of that commercial I saw on TV about the people said, we make our money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. And I'm thinking, yeah. And if God didn't give you life and breath and health, you wouldn't have anything, you know. But I know what they were trying to communicate. But I think this. Here in Deuteronomy 8, it says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Is that not exactly what happened to Israel? They received God's blessing. He led them out of bondage by his power, overcome death through the blood, through the Red Sea and the promised land, overcome all the enemies, and they got all the promised blessings, and then they started thinking, we're the ones that deserve it. And that's the same thing that's happened to us here, hasn't it? We get this foolish idea, America is so great because we've done this. America is great because we used to follow God, and he blessed us. And if we stop following him, we don't turn back, we're going to be in a mess. Verse 18 continues in that chapter. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. What a thing. Remember God. Remember how good he's been to us. And then 19 through 20 says, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other little g gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You know, that is such a awesome statement. And I think of Romans chapter 1, where it talks, they that knew God did not glorify him as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their own imagination, their foolish heart was darkened, and he gave them up to all the way, and it goes all the way down. We're headed that path, aren't we? All the wickedness that's described in Romans 1, 18 through the end of the chapter, it's a terrible picture. And there was a time we thought, well, that'll never happen here. It's happening right now. Because people have turned from God unto them selfishness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Well, that's the end of the slides. But I like to continue on. I mentioned already how that he's been better to us than we deserve. But I want you to also notice in verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. God's long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but the wheels of justice grind, and they will come out. People can't get away with rebelling against God forever. You recall in the Old Testament when the Lord is having the prophets preach against the sins of Israel, and they are being challenged to return and everything. They found the scriptures, and they repented for a while. And they cried, oh, God, we're under your curse. What can we do? We don't want to die. He said, well, because your heart was tender, I'll postpone it for your generation. But I'll not take away the judgment. And listen to this. Because of the blood, innocent blood that Manasseh shed in the streets of Jerusalem. And you think Manasseh shed enough blood that God had to put that punishment on his chosen people Israel to scatter them to the four winds for thousands of years? And how much blood has America shed in abortions alone? And there is no more innocent blood than that, let alone injustice, which everybody's crying about today. And we ought to cry about injustice, but my goodness, abortion is so heinous, it's so evil. Even people that don't follow the Bible in every area of their life ought to be able to see that. God has given life, and that is a gift from him. So he has given us this and the opportunity. But then the positive side in verse 11 and following says, for as high as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. See, it's how we respond to God that determines how we will be blessed or cursed. The same sun that hardens the clay melts the ice. The same seed that falls on the hard ground and is plucked up by the birds of the air falls into the good ground and grows and brings forth plentifully. The difference is what we do with it. Do you hear these messages from the God, the word of God, these challenges and say, I want to do right. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the idea of fear is not just running scared. It's reverencing him. He's God. He's in heaven and I'm not. And I want to be right with him. And then it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. When he saves you, he takes care of it all. You think about it. As far as the east is from the west, that's indefinable. You know, it just keeps going. You'll never find it anymore. And then, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows our frailties. He's not surprised when we're weak and we have to struggle. He cares for us. And he talks about man's limited life, flower flourishes and goes on, taking up. But then we contrast man's power to God's. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And who does it profit? Upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. God's got a blessing for us. And if we'll continue to follow him and we'll pass that on to the next generation and to those around us, that blessing will spread. I spoke to someone earlier tonight and I said, and I might have even said in this message tonight a little bit, we get the idea sometimes it's worse than it's ever been. But you read the Bible, it's been worse. In fact, in Genesis, right before the flood, it says the thought of man was only evil continually. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God wiped out everything that breathed except for the eight people that got in the ark and the animals that got in the ark. And they started all over. Can you imagine how bad it must have been if the only thought of man's was only evil continually? I've hung around some kind of rough people in the past, not a lot, but I've met them, and I've seen them do some kindness to people. I've seen fellows that may have a bad past and troubles, but they'll reach out and help a child. They'll reach out and help someone in need, even go out on raising money to help those in need. There's a little kindness left, but he's describing a time when it was only evil continually. And I think that's the way it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God wiped them out. And it's coming that way if we don't see repentance in our land. Finally, it says, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens. His kingdom ruleth over all. He's still in control, as we sang tonight. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And then our response, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. We bless your